We're holding in the Parshios, discussing the Mishkan, the place where we're able to connect in an extreme, intense way with Hashem. And we know that parts of the Mishkan that were built were made out of wood. And the Rishonim ask, they say, where in the world did the Jewish people get wood from? In the Midbar, right? They're traveling through the desert, and there's no trees around. Where did they get their wood to build this holy Mishkan? And some of Farshim say it was a miracle, and there were trees, and there was some form of wood traveling with them. But other Rishonim say that Yaakov Avinu had foresight. The foresight was that Bnei Yisrael, when they left Mitzrayim, they knew they were going to go ahead and have to build a Mishkan, so they brought with them trees. Okay? And the Medrash goes one step before that and says that the trees that they brought down to Mitzrayim, were brought out of Mitzrayim, was from Yaakov Avinu. That Yaakov Avinu himself took trees from Eretz Yisrael, he brought them down to Mitzrayim, ultimately to be used for the Mishkan. And the Medrash goes even one step further, that it wasn't just trees from Eretz Yisrael, but they were trees, it was wood, that was used by Avram Avinu in his Achnasas Orchim. The Eishel, the tent, or the inn that Avram Avinu built to have guests to come in, to be able to invite them in, it was built with wood. And they took that wood that Avram Avinu used for his chesed, brought that down to Mitzrayim, took it out of Mitzrayim with them to be able to build the Mishkan. Which we see an incredible thing over here. That the foundation, the wood that was used to build the foundation of the Mishkan, was chesed wood. It was wood that was used to help other people, to bring tons and tons of people under the wings of Hashem, the Kanfei HaShechina. It was that chesed that ultimately was the foundation of this home that we would live in with Hashem. So we see that chesed, on a very strong level, is a tenai, is a condition, in order for the Shechina to rest. In order for that Mishkan to be working, it was very clear to Yaakov Avinu, to Bnei Yisrael, that they had to have these trees, these special trees, used for chesed. And we see a very interesting statement that Rav Wolbe brings in Ali Shur, in Chelek Beis, on page 269. He brings a medrash. The medrash says, Chanoch tofer minalim haya. Chanoch was a shoemaker. Every single stitch of the leather, the shoelaces, every step of the way, he would perform yichudim, unifications of the heavenly realm. Right, so when you look at this medrash, at least for me, I'm thinking that he's probably sitting there like this, you know, with a needle. You know, like sewing away. Concentrating in the highest spheres to bring shalom and unification in the world. But Yisrael Salanter explained, this is what Rav Wolbe brings, I'll translate it into English. So Yisrael Salanter explained how these unifications actually took place. Chanoch invested careful thought and intentions into each stitch. His intention was that each stitch would go towards creating a comfortable and sturdy shoe so that the owner, the ultimate owner, would be able to get the maximum benefit out of it. That was what he was doing. That's what he was thinking about. When he made the shoe, it's that. When Rossman goes ahead and buys that shoe, he should be so comfortable and get maximum usage out of that. And he speaks out that when an individual infuses loving kindness and love for other human beings into his work, even menial work like sewing a shoe, this is the greatest form of yichudim, of unifications of the heavenly realm. When a person acts with his whole intent, all of his kavanos, with chesed, for love for other people, that at the end of the day causes all the shalom, all the shechina, to be so intact and so strong. And the Gemara says in Tainus and Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph that Rav Brona would often pass through the marketplace, and he was oftenly visited. He was visited oftenly by Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu used to come to visit Rav Brona in the marketplace. And the Rav Brona asked Eliyahu, he said, "So, you know, is there anyone over here in the marketplace that is worthy of eternal life? Anyone over here?" And Eliyahu said, "No, you know, not really." And then all of a sudden, a certain man entered into the marketplace, and Eliyahu said, "Oh, that guy, he's worthy." What was it? What did he do? So the Gemara says that he worked on tznius between men and women. Okay? And then another two guys walked into the marketplace. And Eliyahu said, "Oh, these two people are also worthy of eternal life." And Rav Brona approached them, and he asked them, "So, what do you guys do exactly? I've been asking forever, you know, is there anyone worthy for eternal life? And I got one answer one time, and all of a sudden you two guys walk, what do you do?" So they said, we're clowns. We're clowns. We cheer people up that are sad, and we see the people are fighting, we go ahead and we make effort to make peace between them. But you see that the part that they're clowns is also important. The fact that they were making people happy, bringing people, lifting their spirits, chesed, they're in a fight, we're going to bridge the gap, we're going to make shalom, that itself was worthy for eternal life. It's incredible. The chesed that people could do for another person is the basis of the hashras hashchina, of the shechina resting on the mishkan. It's the ability for us to be miyachid yichudim. We could all do it. Right? If we're having the right intentions in every single step that we make. But what's important and crucial is that the intentions have to be sincere. They have to be sincere. Very often, people are running to go ahead and do chesed, right? But the reason is because they'll probably get something back for it. If they help the next guy, that guy, it's good to help that guy, because that guy could help me eventually, right? Or he's doing it because he wants to look like a Baal Chesed. I'm a Baal Chesed, I help people, that's who I am. The intentions aren't pure. And that is another lesson from the Mishkan, that whatever we're doing, even Chesed, simple acts of kindness for other people, every act of ours should be thinking towards helping other people, but it has to be sincere. We're doing it really because we care about the other person. We really love him, we want to help him, we want the person to be happy. The Pasuk tells us that Yaakov Avinu, when he woke up from a long nap, we don't know if it was long, but the Medrash tells us he hadn't slept for 14 years in the yeshiva Shem Ve'iver, and he went to sleep on a rock. And the Pasuk says, Vayigat Yaakov Mishnato. He woke up from his sleep. And the Medrash tells us that he didn't wake up from his sleep. He woke up mi Mishnato, from his Mishnah, from his learning. And the Baal Turim Parshas Vayetze says that, Yaakov was learning for 14 years straight while he was sleeping. He was thinking about learning. He woke up from his learning. But the Ksav Sofer says in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, no. Yaakov slept, and he slept good. But normally when we think about sleeping, it's because the guy's exhausted and he just wants to be able to give a tainog, an enjoyment to his body by going to sleep. Oh, I need to sleep. Oh, that was a great sleep. Right? Great sleep. He says the Torah is coming to teach us, the Medrash is coming to teach us that he didn't go to sleep because he needed a great sleep. He went to sleep in order so that the next day he'd be able to function in his Avodas Hashem, in his learning of Torah, in his chesed, on a great level. His sole intention was for Torah, for his Avodas Hashem. That is why he was going to sleep. And therefore, it was as if he was learning. If a person does something with intentions to grow in spirituality, even if it's a mundane act, he could transform that mundane act into something spiritual. And the Vilna Gaon says that this is the exact same thing when it comes to everything that we're about to do. Some of you might have had a heads up, special lunch today in the dining room. The question is going to be, what are we going to do when we eat that lunch? I'm starving. I'm going to enjoy it. This is great. Or the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Lamed Aleph tells us something different. Because there's a steer in the Gemara. On one hand, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, in Daf Yad Aleph, that Rebbe was super rich. He was super rich. And the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah, and also in Maseches Ksuvis, that he was so rich that his table had the melons on the off season and the fruits. An incredible spread. It was all there in front of him. But yet the Gemara says that right before Rebbe died, he put up his hands and he said, I didn't get hana even from the smallest finger, nothing, I got no enjoyment from this world. So Tosa says, please, give me a break. It described for us your meals. It said, you had the watermelon and the grapes and the red grapes and the green grapes. It was all there. And you're telling me that you didn't enjoy anything from this world? So the Vilna Gaon in Shulchan Aruch tells us that the answer was he had the grapes and he ate them. It wasn't just for the guests. He ate them. But when he ate those things, it was a shame shemayim. He ate them because it was healthy for him. It was good for him. It would allow him to function better. His intentions in the mundane act of eating transformed all of his eating to something holy. Yes, he didn't get physical enjoyment from this world. Everything was for spirituality. Everything was for Hashem. And it's an incredible thing what we could do with our intentions. Whether it's sewing the shoe or eating the food, we could transform every mundane act that we have towards something l'shem shemayim. And the Chazon Ish writes, in Maseches Zvachim, he points out that we never find anywhere that the Mishkan was destroyed. Okay, the Gemara says in Maseches Sota, and Daf Tes, that parts of the Ohel Moed that Moshe built were buried, were hidden in the base of Mikdash so that the enemies would never be able to get to it. But even the other parts, the Chazon Ish says, we never find anywhere that it was destroyed. And the question is why? Why the base of Mikdash was destroyed? What's the difference between the Mishkan and the base of Mikdash? And the Sforno explains in the beginning of Parshas Pekudei that the Mishkan was built totally with sincerity. It was all for Hashem. It was all for that relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people. The Beis HaMikdash had certain donations from other people that were coming in a non-sincere way. Something that's built with sincerity, when you use your mind, your intentions, to channel everything that we're doing in the proper way towards Hashem, such a thing can never be touched by our enemies. It never could be destroyed. I saw an incredible story from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, that Rav Yaakov, it's in the book, the biography of Yaakov Kamenetsky, on page 123. And it says over there, when Rav Yaakov arrived to America, he came alone without his wife, and he asked his wife to send him an extensive, long manuscript that Rav Yaakov had written on the Rambam, resolving many, many difficulties of the Rambam in the Mishneh Torah. He said, can you please send it over? And basically, the work never reached him. It was lost. She sent it, it never got there. Can you imagine a long manuscript on the Rambam that you worked on for years and years and years? Gone. It wasn't scanned, didn't have that, didn't have no computers, copy machines. No, gone. Well, he wrote. So what did Rav Yaakov, what was the message over here? So he said, and he said this about another manuscript that he also wrote on the famous work Shev Shmaitza, also disappeared. That was during World War I when he was running around. He lost that manuscript. What happened to it? So he said that originally when he wrote those works, he was planning on moving to Eretz Yisrael. And he wrote the works to send to a research center in Eretz Yisrael with the hope that when they see this grand manuscript, he'll secure a position, and when he gets to Eretz Yisrael, he'll have a job. He said, since those were the intentions that he had when he wrote these manuscripts, it wasn't, okay, on his level, I guess, totally l'shem shemayim, to be marbitz Torah. He had in mind that he's going to write this thing to get his job. He said, there's no kiyum. It didn't exist, and it disappeared. An incredible lesson. The power of our mind, the power of our intentions. We could do it. We care about other people. Every act that we do, we get downstairs, each person takes the schnitzel for the other person, gives it to him, chesed, does it not for personal reasons, but just to help the other guy. That is his intention, that is his plan, that's the chesed, that is the foundation for the shechina. But we have to make sure it's sincere. And if it's sincere, if every move that we have is sincere, all our moves will be successful, we'll have kiyum, and we'll be zocha to a tremendous atzlacha.